I just have a sense of, you know, this person really embodies the brand. Yes, their content is beautiful, but beyond that, I know that they are incredibly hardworking, incredibly professional, and they really love this brand. And that, I think, is a key part of a successful partnership, is really getting to know the person. I mean, it's like dating, right? You're on a, right. I met my husband on Tinder, so I can say this. You're on a dating app and you see a picture and they look great, but you need to date a little.
Welcome to the Influencer Podcast. I'm your host, Julie Solomon. If you found yourself here, it means you are ready to unleash the powerful visionary that lives inside you, turning you into an authentic leader who creates influence, impact, and change. Let's get started.
Now, my guest today is not only a dear friend, but an awesome PR and influencer marketing consultant specializing in prestige beauty. Meg Young has over a decade of PR experience working with two of the industry's most prestigious beauty agencies, as well as leading the in-house PR efforts for luxury beauty brands such as Kate Somerville Skincare and Jouer Cosmetics. Through her years of experience working in New York and LA, Meg has established a vast network of authentic relationships with top editors, influencers, makeup artists, celebrities, publicists, and managers on both coasts. In 2018, Meg founded Meg Young Media Group, a PR and influencer marketing consultancy specializing in beauty. Now, have you subscribed to the Influencer Podcast yet on Stitcher, iTunes, all the places? Well, if not, please make sure to do so, as I don't want you to miss an episode. Also, make sure to screenshot this episode today on your phone. Tag me on your Instagram stories if you hang out there at Jewel Solomon and our guest at Meg S. Young, and hashtag the Influencer Podcast to let us know why you're joining in today and what you loved about today's episode, so we can share your screenshots on our stories as well.
Hi, Julie. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I know. One of my favorite LA women here with us. I love you so much.
Dear.
And I want to dive into it. I mean, you have had such a rich career. I mean, you have been able to work with some of the best of the best when it comes to beauty and skincare. And just share with us a little bit about that journey. I mean, I know that you started on the East Coast, you found your way to the West Coast, and what that journey's been like to grow kind of in what would have originally been more of a traditional type of career, but because of social media and influencer marketing, you know, you really having to lead this innovative path of how that kind of transitioned.
Well, I began my career on the East Coast. I am originally from New York and New Jersey, and I started on the agency side in New York. I started with an agency called Allison Broad, which at the time when I started about 11 years ago, was really, I would say, one of the top two beauty agencies. I got my job. I always like to say this, even though it's so many years ago now, because I think it's still a great tool and tip for people looking for jobs and starting their career. I actually was really interested in the agency. I ended up emailing HR and asked if they were hiring. They said they were not. And I asked if I could set up an informational interview. And I went in for this informational interview. And then it ended up turning out that they in fact were hiring. And then three more interviews later, I got the job. So, it was really exciting. I initially, wanted fashion, and I, had an opportunity to start on the beauty side. And it was funny because I enjoyed beauty, but, I was not the girl who was, you know, shopping up and down the Sephora aisles and knew every brand. And I really just wanted to get my foot in the door. But, as you know, life turns out, I feel like you're led down paths you're meant to go down. And, you know, I'm so thrilled that I've been able to work in the beauty space. So after a few years at, Allison Broad, I went to another agency in New York where I had the great opportunity to, lead their beauty division at a fairly young age. And that opportunity really kind of allowed me to tap into this entrepreneurial side that I at the time didn't know that I had. And it was, I had a lot of autonomy to find new clients and lead the strategies and really, you know, in a lot of ways, run the show within that beauty department, which was an incredible learning experience. And, you know, at that point in my career, I'd been doing PR for about 6 years, and I really felt like I wanted to get more involved with the brand from just, you know, here are the launches, now get the products out there. And I wanted to learn more about how the marketing teams and sales teams and product development teams are working. So a former client of mine who I know, a brand you know well, I think that's where I was maybe when we connected. I don't exactly remember when, but Jouer Cosmetics, they were LA based, and I reached out to the founder and asked her if she knew anyone looking for PR in LA. And she said, well, I'd love to work with you again. So that's what brought me to LA. I was the PR director over there for about 3 years. And then Kate Somerville, I think as we're chatting, that's where you and I connected. Then Kate Somerville came calling, and I moved on to Kate Somerville, where I had the opportunity for just under 4 years to oversee the PR for Kate. So I started on the agency side, then was in-house for two amazing brands. And then as of today, I, you know, in the last year plus, I've been my own, I started my own business, my own consultancy. So, I've kind of gone back to working with a variety of clients, but when I started my company, which is Meg Young Media Group, I really did it because I saw the value of brands having somebody in-house versus an external agency. And I'd worked on both sides of it. And with so much of the landscape changing, you know, it wasn't, when I began my career, it really was traditional media. It was about, you know, getting the Vogue magazine placement, the New York Post column. And when I moved to LA, around that time is when the influencer world started to become a much bigger piece of the puzzle. And I felt the value that I added to Jouer and to Kate Somerville was really that the brands had such a personal connection with these influencers and also makeup artists who are influencers in their own right. And I saw what agencies charged, and I saw the results that the brands were receiving. And I felt like there was an opportunity to bridge that gap and offer brands that kind of in-house level of service, feeling like you're much more involved and you know, weighing in on what does the packaging look like and timelines from, you know, product development and marketing, like what is the marketing strategy and how can we really support that from a PR standpoint? And also really giving brands, again, that personal connection to influencers and to makeup artists and to editors. So I started my own consultancy, and I've been able to work with Kate Somerville and Jouer Cosmetics and Lancer Skincare and some really incredible brands. And so that's where I am today.
Just popping in real quick to let you know about a new training that I have that gives you the 3 steps to grow your following and land 10K brand deals in just 30 days, especially if you have a small following and no more time for content creation. Now, this class is perfect for you if you are ready to really build out a clear and concise content strategy that helps you grow. If you're ready to grow your following by creating engaging content so you can attract the brands that are willing to pay you. If you're ready to land paid brand deals from the content that you're creating so you can diversify your revenue streams. And of course, make content creation and content strategy your full-time career so you can have more freedom in your work and flexibility in your schedule. Now, this class comes packed with a ton of strategies as well as some free bonuses that you will not want to miss. So head on over to pitchitperfect.net/masterclass to join. There are multiple times available so you can make any time work for you no matter where you are. Again, that's pitchitperfect.net/masterclass to get all the details. Yeah. And I think it's just so unique because you've worked both coasts. You've worked with a ton of a variety of different, really incredible, sustainable very well-known companies. And so you have a unique perspective, I think, on just the take of, like you said, with agency side, with in-house side, and then just working with influencers. So I would love to know, how have you seen changes and or shifts, if you will, of how these kinds of companies approach influencers? I mean, obviously it was going to be different from in the beginning stages, kind of what that looks like versus kind of what you see now. I would love for you to walk us through that.
Sure.
Now, you guys know that I love me some beauty products, and when I can try a lot of them, it makes me one happy gal, which is why I love FabFitFun. And their fall box is on sale now, and the products that have been in this box, I think, are some of the best yet. I've been using my Anthropologie Tribal Yoga Mat every week for my hot yoga classes, and have been loving the Aromatherapy Associates Deep Relax Rollerball that smells so good, so soothing. Now, these boxes do sell out fast, so you'll want to get it quick. FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box with full-size beauty, fitness, fashion, and lifestyle products. It retails for $49.99, but always has a value of over $200. You can use coupon code TIP for $10 off your first box at www.fabfitfun.com. That's coupon code TIP for $10 off your first box at www.fabfitfun.com. How have you seen changes and or shifts, if you will, of how these kinds of companies approach influencers? I mean, obviously it was going to be different from in the beginning stages, kind of what that looked like versus kind of what you see now. I would love for you to walk us through that.
Sure. Yeah, it's evolved so much. And actually, it's funny, when I began my career, I remember asking for some more responsibility because, you know, assistant level PR is a lot of admin work. And I was kind of given the job of creating the, at the time, the blog list that nobody else wanted to do, which actually ended up being an advantage because a lot of some of the early influencers, I, you know, was establishing relationships when a lot of brands, you know, and PRs maybe weren't giving them, you know, the attention that they're receiving today. But it's evolved tremendously. I think it really does vary on the brand. Some brands who have been around for many years, you know, still really value, I think, the traditional media placement. So there's still a cachet of, you know, you're in the glossy pages of a Vogue or an InStyle. And I think that there's absolute value for that because, you know, retailers like to see that. Mm-hmm. And certainly I think it's, you know, something great to have as a brand founder to frame that glossy page. Digital media has become much bigger in terms of the Vogue.com or, you know, Bustle, PopSugar. So that's probably in the media space where most of my brands are focusing. And obviously there's so much more opportunities there for the level and the number of press placements you can receive because of the lead times, of course. But influencers, I would say as of 2019, every brand it's on their radar. I think there are still brands that have done, which I'm surprised by, that haven't done a lot with influencers and want to do more. And then there are, of course, brands who spend probably, you know, 50% of their marketing budget is going to paid partnerships. But with that, I think it really varies. There's, you know, there's a lot of in between in how brands are engaging with influencers. And I always recommend to all of my clients, it's really 360. You need all of it. This world is always evolving, and it's certainly, I would say, in the last 5-10 years changed, you know, dramatically. That said, I don't think you should focus 100% on influencers. I don't think you should, you know, not include them in a PR strategy. I think it's really important to include traditional media with that print, broadcast, digital media, and then of course influencer marketing is a piece of that. And then depending on the brand's customer base, on what, you know, their strategy is, some of those pieces are going to be a larger percentage of the pie than others. But I really do think it's so important to focus on all of those different areas.
And from your experience of working with various beauty brands and skincare companies. How has been your approach that you have seen, like, this is the way that I see good success and good return on investment for both ends when working with influencers? How does that kind of evolve, that relationship and that buildup of going from, we're going to test this person out and however way that may look, to we're going to do a partnership with this person?
Definitely. So I always establish, I have always had a personal relationship with any of the influencers that the brands I've worked with, have partnered with, have paid to partner with. The reason for that is I feel it's incredibly important to know that person beyond just the content that you see on their Instagram page or on their blog or on their YouTube channel. And I can tell a lot about, you know, about that person through meeting them, you know, one time, three times, whatever it might be. And I just have a sense of, you know, this person really embodies the brand. Yes, their content is beautiful, but beyond that, I know that they are incredibly hardworking, incredibly professional, and they really love this brand. And that, I think, is a key part of a successful partnership, is really getting to know the person. I mean, it's like dating, right? You're on a, right. I met my husband on Tinder, so I can say this. You're on a dating app and you see a picture and they look great, but you need to date a little, you need to get to know who they are. I think it's been successful on both ends because generally, you know, I'm the point person for the brand and the influencer we're partnering with also has a level of trust with me as I do them. So that is definitely something I recommend. If you're an influencer and you have an agent, you can absolutely still establish a personal relationship with a PR. And I think that's incredibly valuable because the publicist is oftentimes the one who's making the decision about who we're working with. So then, you know, in addition to kind of what you can see visually from the influencer, what, you know, content might look like, you also then know, okay, this person I know always delivers. They always put in 100%. It's not just about a paycheck and slapping something up there. We know that it's going to be really quality and also somebody that we want to work with. I think just like an employer wants to hire somebody that's going to be a long-term partner for a brand and somebody who really works well with other team members, I think it's really very similar. You want to work with somebody you enjoy working with, who's respectful, who's professional. And I know that might sound silly, but I've done it the other end where we've partnered with people just to make a quick decision and they've not been successful. So the long-term relationships are really that, in, I suppose, any relationship, you know, personally or professionally, is really about getting to know them and then finding something that works, that clicks, that the aesthetic is on brand, and really kind of sustaining that.
Yeah. And what was coming up for me in that moment too was really about that long-term partnership piece, because I think a lot of times some influencers just look at it as like a one and done situation. Like, I'm going to work with this brand and I'm off to the next and I'm off to the next, and not really kind of placing any sort of attention or value on the intentionality or of building that relationship. And could you kind of walk us through, you know, what it kind of looks like from your perspective of working with an influencer for a longer term partnerships? You know, is it events? Is it social media activations? Kind of what does that look like that you have seen that this is where we really see good success, whether that's in terms of awareness or conversion?
Sure. So that definitely varies. Obviously the brand's strategy and priorities, and also who the influencer is, of course, and, you know, what platforms may or may not work best for them. I would say for long-term, I think in today's landscape, what I think is most impactful, if it's beyond just, you know, a post or ongoing posts on Instagram, when I started doing paid partnerships with probably, I would say, about 2-3 years ago, because most of the brands I worked with were very much focused on organic and let's, you know, really establish these authentic organic relationships and not pay and get as far as we can with people promoting the product because they genuinely love it. And so when I started doing paid, it was very much the one post, one hit, let's pay and get an Instagram post and a couple of stories. And I think the results from that generally were some, you know, some nice engagement, some great content you could repurpose, but there wasn't necessarily the correlation to sales. What I'm seeing now with brands is it's the repetition of the messaging that is really converting to sales, which I would say is probably most brands' number one priority. They want awareness and therefore sales ultimately resulting from that. And it's actually the same method as traditional PR has always been, where I in so many meetings with new clients, you tell them, you know, it's about the repetition. PR should not be, you should never invest in PR if you're expecting to see the return on your investment, you know, three times over. Mm-hmm. It's about that brand awareness. It's about creating that halo effect, and then sales will result from that. And if you're in a financial position where you need that return, then now is not the time for PR. I think you can focus on marketing and sales and do as much internally as you can. PR is really for a brand who's at a place where they say, we are going to invest, and maybe it is a little bit of a stretch, but we know that the overall goal is awareness, and then that will, you know, in turn trickle down. So maybe it took in, you know, the early mid 2000s took somebody watching, you know, the Today Show and seeing a product and reading a magazine and then reading another magazine before they purchased it. And I think in the world of influencers, it's the same. It's seeing that influencer. Okay. I heard Julie talk about this cream. It sounds like she loves it. And then 2 weeks later, oh, there it is again. And then, you know, 2 months later, wow, she's still using it and her skin looks amazing. So it's about that consistent repetition of method that I think is really what's the most important tool for conversion. Mm. So that's what I would say is the key to a successful partnership is just being consistent with messaging. And instead of, if it's a beauty brand, we'll chat beauty since that's sort of my area of expertise, but a beauty brand that has 25 products in the range, don't let that partnership, you know, cover 12 of them. Focus on three, because it's very confusing. Otherwise you want like, these are the three products we want to focus on and, or focus on one. And I think that's really where you see the best return. And also just feels the most authentic.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Yeah. And I love that tip for anyone who's listening that has a brand, because I think a lot of times we talk about the perspective of the influencer, but it's also the perspective of the business owner and the perspective of the brand, like how to best work with influencers. How do you find from your perspective of what you do now, how, cause you had said earlier that it's really about working with someone that you have built a personal relationship with. How do you go about initially building that? I mean, obviously you may meet certain people at events or various things. Do you ever like scroll social media and find people who you really like their feed and then, you know, start to kind of build it from there? Or is it more like you meet through someone and that sort of thing?
I scroll social media all the time, more than I would care to admit. And I have probably on my phone right now, 100+ screenshots of pages to go back to. And then I usually airdrop them to my computer. And then when I got some downtime, which is why I have over 100. I go through them. So yes, definitely I scroll through a lot of people I find through people existing in my network. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of PR colleagues in the industry, so I'll see, you know, one of my friends in New York hosting an event, and I'll look at who they invited. And I generally work with prestige beauty brands, so I'll also take a look at, you know, who is attending these events or who's working with a similar brand in the prestige beauty world. And that's another way I find them. Also, I do, of course, get a lot of outreach headed my way. And that's a great way to, you know, obviously as an influencer to connect with a brand is to reach out. And I highly encourage everyone to do that and not be shy. So it's a lot of that. I think at this stage, and I'm sure you feel the same, Julie, you go to the events and it feels like you know almost everyone in the circuit, but you don't because there's still so many more people. Yeah. But it does feel a little bit in the LA beauty space sometimes like, oh gosh, it's such a small industry. But that said, there's so many more. And what I'm really looking to do now, and I know a lot of my brands are on board, is to branch out beyond LA and New York. And those are certainly the hubs for, you know, New York, very much the traditional, you know, media hub. When I moved to LA 7-8 years ago, I remember a lot of PRs kind of thinking, you know, wishing me well and thinking we'll see you back here in a couple of years because there wasn't a lot happening out here. And I felt like I was a big fish in a small pond going from being a small fish in a huge pond in New York. And then all of a sudden the influencer world blew up in LA. And then it was as if every hot new brand was coming from LA. And now I think it's really shifted. But so brands have kind of continued to focus on New York and then, of course, are focusing on LA for the reasons we just mentioned. But I've noticed a shift of the LA, the New York influencers are not the only influencers. And there are so many incredible influencers around the country, around the globe, who are speaking to potentially very different customers and a very different audience. And, you know, it's important to target a variety of people and not just go after the same influencers who are kind of getting all of the same, attending the same event circuit, and, you know, maybe getting a lot of the partnerships. So there's a lot of value in that. And I've been spending a lot of time of trying to branch out and find influencers in different states and cities.
Can you walk us through also the process from a brand's perspective? Because I think that there can be a lot of assumptions or confusions on this of like, you know, do you need to be a celebrity to get a partnership? Do you need to be a big macro influencer with hundreds of thousands or millions of followers to get a partnership? Or can you be more of a micro influencer and have a small but mighty engaged audience in order to work with brands consistently? What has been your experience with that?
Yeah. So that's a great question. And I do think it does vary by the brand because different brands have different priorities. And I know a lot of my PR peers say the same thing that I'm going to share of there is a lot of education that's needed to, especially in big companies that are, you know, owned by brands that are owned by larger companies.
Right.
Some of the senior level people may not be as, of course, and they're not meant to. It's really the PR marketing teams to stay up to date with the very ever changing landscape, but who may not be aware of, you know, importance of engagement, say, over follower size, or importance of content being on brand. Maybe even I like to sort of call them social tastemakers. And I categorize this group as influencers who are not necessarily making their livelihood out of being an influencer. So, for example, a dear friend of mine, Kelly Levesque, who a nutritionist, I know you know, Kelly, Be Well by Kelly. She is a nutritionist. She is a dietitian. I don't want to get wrong what her correct title is. So forgive me, Kelly, if you're listening. But I mean, that is her livelihood. She's studied. She's incredibly well researched on everything she does. She uses Instagram as a platform, which has been an incredible platform for her. She's an author with another book coming out. So her, you know, her career is really first, you know, as being a nutritionist, and then the influencer part of it has kind of come part of that. So she's somebody who I would put, or Gray Malin, another one, the incredible photographer who's an incredible person. And, you know, he's become an influencer, but he's first a photographer. So I've actually, and I mentioned those both because I've partnered with them both on brands and, for events, for, you know, promoting products. And, I've identified them because they're not necessarily the people who are always talking about skincare, say. They're talking about, you know, very different things like home decor or, you know, fitness and diet. And I think there's a level of trust when they're talking about something that's in a different category. So I always think social tastemakers are, I kind of peel them out of that group. And so you don't necessarily need, going back to your question, you don't necessarily need that large following. It's kind of about who is your audience and, if the brand wants to reach them. So for Kelly, if it's a very, clean beauty brand, they really might want to reach, you know, her following. And, same with Gray, maybe, you know, his prints are not inexpensive. So it's a prestige brand that says, hey, this is an affluent customer and we want to reach them. So, I think it's probably first about your audience and then, your content. And then, of course, engagement helps, and following helps too. But engagement, I would always put before following.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because, you know, I think about that a lot with people I know, that they're, you know, maybe they're an author first, or a business leader, or a personal trainer, or, as you know, mentioned with Gray, a photographer or a chef, or what have you. But because they have built that know, like, and trust, and they've built this amazing community on social media because of the work that they do, then they do have, it's like influencer adjacent, you know, like they do have this component that they are influencing a lot. You know, people trust what they have to say. They want to know how they're living their life. They want to know what they use to, you know, the day in and day out to make their life a little healthier, better, easier. So, I think that that's a great thing to remember, that you don't have to be your, I don't even want to say traditional, because influencers are so, there's no such thing as a traditional influencer yet, but kind of your idea of someone that, like, all they do is partnerships, all they do is affiliate, you know, marketing, you know, they're your traditional YouTuber, blogger, social media influencer type of thing. There's actually people that are going out creating their own businesses, their own products, their own services, their own programs, and then because of that start to build an influence in and of itself. So I think that that's a really interesting perspective. Meg, what does influence mean to you?
So influence, I think, is the ability to change somebody's thoughts or actions. How you do that, is obviously there's many different ways of doing that. And, I personally really look for influencers who, maybe it is fashion and, or beauty, which, you know, we could argue is somewhat superficial of way of doing it, but the influencers who go, I guess, beyond that. And it's like, yes, I'm focused on beauty. I'm focused on fashion, But my ultimate goal is really to make people feel better. So that's another thing. A lot of the brands I work with, and I'm very, very strategic with the brands I partner with because it's a big part of who I am personally. I want to make sure that there's a heart to the brand, and a lot of the reason I work with, you know, beauty too, is kind of, how are we helping people? And at Kate Somerville, that was a key part of the message, is, you know, transformation through skincare to transform kind of who you are and how you feel about yourself. So I went a little bit off track there, but, I think that when we look to partner with influencers as well, most of the brands I look for somebody who's kind of beyond the just a beautiful picture of a dress. And maybe there's a message behind that, or maybe somebody who's going through a really tough time and sharing that. I think that's an incredibly important thing to do in today's world, because I think it can become very surface level, and going beyond that is something that is hugely important.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. If you had one piece of advice to give to a brand that may be listening, and one piece of advice to give to an influencer that may be listening, when it comes to really building partnerships that are purpose-driven and that can stand the test of time and that can be more longer term and more sustainable and really more beneficial to both parties, what would that be?
That's a great question. I would say, again, I think the relationship is so, so important. And I think really kind of having that in place before any partnership begins, and taking the time to really get to know the brand, to really get to know the influencer, and having just be, again, beyond the, this brand is coming my way and they're offering, you know, a great paycheck for this partnership, is really kind of making sure that that connection is there, so it feels authentic and you can continue to have that relationship long-term.
Meg, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your thoughts and your wisdom. And, you know, just, it's such great, amazing results-driven information and very applicable information for people to go and to be able to use in the work that they're doing. So I so appreciate that. And then where can people find you online and find more about your work and Meg Young Media Group?
So we're at megyoungmedia.com and then at Meg Young Media.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Meg, for being here today. I so appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
As always, thank you so much for joining me today and every week here on the Influencer Podcast. If you're wanting to dive deeper into the topics and discussions that we have here, I would encourage you to head over to juliesolomon.net and sign up for my weekly newsletter. It is in our amazing newsletter community that we are able to really support you on a much larger scale. And I love to do a ton of amazing things that I send inside your inbox every single week. So just head over to juliesolomon.net. You'll see a little spot there that you can add your information in, and you will get on the list and start receiving all of that good stuff.